dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you this time about the tempering of souls. That's a phrase that Amy Carmichael used often in speaking of the training of the children that God had given her to care for, and also of those that she had to train to care for the children. Amy Carmichael was an Irish missionary who spent 53 years in South India without ever leaving for a furlough, because God had given her a work among the children who had been dedicated to the Hindu temples for immoral purposes. She became the mother of a tremendous family, almost 900 altogether at one point. And as the Tamil proverb says, children tie the mother's feet. So she was unable to leave. It's my hope in these talks that Amy's ardent, loving, courageous, and utterly non-self-pitying heart will be revealed in the story and will awaken you and me to the deep meaning of the cross. When I think of the influence that this amazing woman has had in my own life, I would crystallize it by saying that she taught me the way of the cross. She taught me in the most practical, down-to-earth, livable way what it means to take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. She felt that there were far too many run-of-the-mill Christians, cool, respectable, satisfied with the usual and the mediocre. What she wanted to give back to God in these children was Damascus blades. A Damascus blade is a very fine kind of steel, and it has to be forged in extremes of heat and cold. It's famous for its hardness and elasticity. The training that went on at Donavur, the little village in South India where her work took place, was fire and ice to forge blades for what only a blade of that temper can do. I wonder how much of that forging we do in the training of our children. Do we attempt to protect them from all difficulty, all suffering? If we do that, which of course it's a mother's instinct to do, to protect a child from every kind of difficulty and suffering, then are we really preparing them to meet life head on, to wage the warfare that's necessary if we're going to stand against evil in our day? Amy Carmichael sought to teach perseverance, truthfulness, courage, unselfishness, and strength in her children. She wanted them to be both hard and elastic. As I look around in today's world, I don't see a whole lot of perseverance, stick-to-itiveness. When it feels good, people are willing to do it. When it doesn't feel good, forget it. If at first you don't succeed, quit. That seems to be the maxim of some of today's generations, and I certainly don't exclude my generation. But God wants perseverance. He wants faithfulness, loyalty, the willingness to stick with the job that He has given us. I've been in positions myself where I just felt as if I couldn't go on any longer. It didn't make any sense. I wasn't getting anywhere. I wasn't accomplishing anything very visible. And yet, I had to realize that that was the place where God had put me. And because He had led me there and assigned me to this task, then I had to persevere in the task until and unless there was overwhelming guidance to change, to do something else, to make a new decision. I think of truthfulness and how hard and pure my own father and mother were about this matter. I had my mouth washed out with soap more than once when I was a little girl, because I told a lie. And in my father's book, there was no such thing as a white lie. All lies were black, and we were taught a strict and delicate truthfulness. The same thing was true of Amy Carmichael in her training of her children. Courage. Whatever happened to courage? We don't hear a whole lot about that anymore either. When young people talk to me about the possibility of going to the mission field, they have all sorts of fears that they want to discuss. Well, what did you do in the jungle? I mean, did you have vampire bats and poisonous snakes and scorpions and things like that? And I always smile and I say, well, of course, those are the things that live in the jungle. And if you're going to live in the jungle, you're going to have to get along in a place where those things are all constant dangers. But where God calls you to go is the only place of safety in the whole world. It really doesn't take a whole lot of courage to recognize that you're safe in His hands, even in the most seemingly dangerous spot in the world. The will of God is the only safe place in the world. It's the only happy place in the world. Courage is not, as someone has said, the absence of fear. It is the willingness to do the thing you fear. Unselfishness. Isn't that something that has to be taught line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, every day with your children, not to mention with ourselves? Every day there are dozens of choices to make between ourselves and Jesus Christ. Unselfishness, that's what it means in 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down His life for us, and we in our turn must lay down our lives for each other. Unselfishness is the way of the cross, strength, hard and elastic. The purer the aim, Amy Carmichael discovered, the more vehement the opposition. We are indeed going to be thought rather peculiar. But her aim was to lead children out of themselves and into service for others. That should be our aim as well. She taught her children to work. She taught them real work. Every child, no matter how small, had to learn to polish his own brass vessel. These children had very few things in Donavur, but each one had his brass vessel for his food and drink. Each one had a straw mat on which he slept at night on the tile floor. And she said that work was always mixed with play, even for the toddlers. The smallest child could learn to tidy the bungalow or help to peel palm shoots. Others husked rice, picked tamarind fruit, cleaned the rice vessels. And Amy had a way of writing little songs that the children could sing while they were working. This is one of them. Jesus, Savior, dost thou see when I'm doing work for thee? Common things, not great and grand, carrying stones and earth and sand. I did common work, you know, many, many years ago, and I don't forget. I see everything you do for me. Let me repeat the last line. Some of you might want to just take that down and teach these words to your children. Jesus answered to the child, I did common work, you know, many, many years ago, and I don't forget. I see everything you do for me. This concept made the children particular about the backs of places, Amy said. And another thing that she taught them was that a little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in little things is a very great thing. Not very long ago, when I was visiting my grandchildren, my daughter Valerie asked Elizabeth to give a bottle to Evangeline. Evangeline was in the process of being weaned, and they had discovered that she had to have goat's milk. So Valerie had fixed the bottle of goat's milk and asked Elizabeth to give it to Evangeline. Elizabeth is 10 years old. Evangeline just turned 1. And Elizabeth rolled her eyes and shrugged her shoulders, and she said, "Oh, Mama, I've given her about 1 million bottles." And I said to Elizabeth, "If this were the baby Jesus, would you feel differently about giving him the bottle?" And she looked a little sheepish, and she said, "Well, I guess so." Amy Carmichael never believed in rewarding children except with harder work. The highest reward that a child could hope for would be to be given greater responsibility and more difficult work. There was no such thing as tips in Donavore, and the word got around that Donavore people would help those who had no money. This was unheard of in South India, and it became a testimony. I read some passages the other day from Amy's little classic called If. I want you to know that that book is available, and those of you who are ordering A Chance to Die can find a list in the back of that book, of her books which are available. And If is available. I would hope that your Christian bookstore carries it. One selection from that little book. "If I avoid being plowed under with all that such plowing entails of rough handling, isolation, uncongenial situations, strange tests, then I know nothing of Calvary love." The tempering of souls, it involves hardship, courage, being plowed under, sometimes isolation, uncongenial situations, and strange tests. But they give us the chance to learn Calvary love.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.